Foundations Lesson Number 3, Salvation, Part 3. Roman numeral number 2 on our outline examines the great security in and the great assurance of God's salvation. God has committed himself to shield his sons and daughters from every conceivable external force that would attempt to separate them from his salvation. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, Jesus is speaking. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." I want you to understand, no murderer, no court of law, no demon in hell, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God knows how to protect his own. If you're a Christian today, you are safe in Jesus' hand. No one can snatch you out of it. You are safe in the Father's hand. No one can snatch you out of it. No one is powerful enough to mess with God. Having said that, the question arises, is it possible for me to jump out of the Father's hand? In other words, will he force me to stay even if I were to choose to renounce Christ? Now, that's a very serious question. We've already discovered that God has given us humans a free will. We have the capacity to make our own choices and decisions, even if they don't please the Almighty. So the same question could be worded differently by asking, has God taken away our free will when it comes to the issue of walking away from his salvation? After all, if God were to allow us to have free will in this area, it's just a matter of time until someone exercises that free will and walks out of the Father's hand. So the question remains, is it possible for us believers to do that? The answer is yes, it is possible. God has not taken our free will away from us in this matter. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we disown him, he will also disown us. John 15:1-6, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. No one can argue that the main point of this parable is that we believers are being commanded and exhorted to remain in Christ. 5 times in these 6 verses, in one way or another, Jesus has exhorted his followers to remain in him. There'd be absolutely no point in his saying that if it were impossible for his followers to leave him. The Lord has told us here to choose to remain in him. Graciously, Jesus even lets us know what the dire consequences are for choosing not to remain in him. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I've heard one preacher say that if you're bound and determined to turn your back on Christ, God will allow you to walk away only if you can't be persuaded to stay. Then Hebrews 10:26-31 has this to say, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Both on our outline and in the Scriptures and Quotes document, there are other passages from Revelation and Mark that also speak to this issue. I'll let you read them at your convenience. For now, I'd like to quote from an official document of a denomination that's addressed this issue using very clear and succinct language. They have written, and I quote, "In view of the biblical teaching that the security of the believer depends on a living relationship with Christ, John 15:6, in view of the Bible's call to a life of holiness, 1 Peter 1:16, Hebrews 12:14, in view of the clear teaching that a man may have his part taken out of the book of life, Revelation 22:19, and in view of the fact that one who believes for a while can fall away, Luke 8:13, we disapprove of the unconditional security position which holds that it is impossible for a person once saved to be lost." Having said that, I'd like to emphasize that we should not live in fear over this issue. Why? Because God has tremendous and awesome keeping power. If you want to be kept, he will keep you. As a very young believer, I was deeply impressed by the scriptures that illustrated the faith of some ending up in shipwreck. Saul started strong, but ended up a total mess. David loved God, yet he fell into committing murder and adultery. Judas left his former life to follow Jesus, yet he betrayed the Lord and committed suicide. I was deeply troubled by the thought, how can I make it to the end? I rightly understood that I was no better than they were, but I sure didn't want to end up like they did or worse. Then one day when I was reading the book of Job, the following verse jumped off the page at me. It's verse 24. "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." When I read that, I wanted to shout at the top of my lungs, "That's it!" All I needed to do was to have confidence in God's great keeping power. He is able to keep every one of us from falling. Don't trust in your own ability to make it to the end. That's a fool's game. Trust God. He is able to keep you from falling. You don't need to live in fear, and God doesn't want you to live in fear. Romans 8:15 says it this way, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Another obstacle that most newly saved people encounter is that of doubt. Many young believers wonder, "Am I really saved? What if I didn't pray the right thing when I asked Jesus to come into my life?" These questions or similar ones bother them. If you've recently come into the kingdom of God, I understand that you may not feel sure of yourself because your belief in Christ is so new. You're not accustomed to living by faith yet. But take heart, God is really good at taking great care of spiritual infants. When you prayed to receive Christ, God saw and understood your heart. If you didn't use quite the right words, God knew exactly what you meant. And he's provided you with a powerful piece of spiritual armor that will help you, the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The flaming arrows of doubt don't have to plague you. You have the shield of faith at your disposal. 1 John 5:13 says this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." When you ask some people if they've received God's salvation, they might say, "I hope so," or "I'm trying." The verse we just read clearly states that we can know that we have eternal life. It's not a matter of hoping or trying. It's a matter of believing and receiving. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him," that is Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." 2 Corinthians 1:21, Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. If you're still wondering whether or not you've really received God's salvation, I encourage you to go back over Roman numeral number 1 on our outline. If you've done what God requires in order to be saved, you have eternal life, because God is always true to his word. He is faithful to all generations. Amen.